hello, Woodman, and good evening. It is so good to see each and every one of you. My name is Andrew, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Woodman. And my gift to serve here is with the Monument Campus as campus pastor. So it is an absolute joy and privilege for me to serve with you guys right here. And I do want to just say a hello to our other campuses, downtown, Rockrimmon, Woodman Heights, and Ark Valley. What a blessing it is for all of us to gather together around God's word to be encouraged and challenged by what God has in store for us. If you're a guest with us tonight, we are really glad that you are here. And we do not believe at all that it is an accident that you are here, but we believe that God has brought you here. And our hope and our prayer is that God's word might encourage you, and you might be encouraged also by God's people. And if you hang around with us very long, you'll find out that Woodman is made up of some imperfect people. And we desire and we strive to love well and see lives changed through the power of Christ and Christ alone. For my family, we've been blessed to be a part of Woodman for almost 9 years. And some of that time was an attender, and some of that time I've been able to serve on the ministry team. And over the course of this 9 years, it's beautiful because Woodman has always provided opportunities to grow in our faith and to connect with others and even contribute using the gifts and skills that God has given us. And so with that in mind, I just want to one more time, just give a plug for our ministry fair next weekend at all of our campuses. I would love for you to take time to stay after service and get to see some of the different ministries that are taking place. And man, perhaps there's an opportunity for you to step into a group for the very first time, like a community group or a Bible study, or maybe step up onto a serving team or perhaps into a leadership position. So we'd love to see you at the ministry fair next weekend. Now, currently, we are in a series on the book of Psalms, and it's entitled Psalms, Hearts Set on Heaven. And church, as the body of Christ, when we as individuals set our hearts on heaven, when we as a collective body set our hearts on heavenly and eternal things, man, it changes absolutely everything that we face here on this earth, absolutely everything that we go through on a day-in, day-out basis. And you know what? There is power in spending time in the Psalms because no matter what we might be facing, no matter what we might be going through, whether it's a valley, a difficult time, or maybe we're in a season of rest, or maybe we're in a season of celebration, as you read through the Psalms, there's always going to be something that speaks to us in whatever situation we might be in. So last week, Pastor Kevin led us through Psalm 139, and it was beautiful because we were able to see that each and every one of us is fully known by our Heavenly Father. He is with me. He created me, and he focuses on me. What a powerful truth that we were able to spend time in last weekend. And this weekend, we have the opportunity to look at Psalm 23 and observe how the Lord leads us as our trustworthy shepherd. So if you have your Bible or device, you can go ahead and turn there. And I would invite each and every one of you, even though this is a psalm that we are really well familiar with, would you have ears that are open to hear? Would you have a heart that is sensitive to what God might want to say to you today as we spend time in Psalm 23? So let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being our good and faithful Father. Lord, we thank you for the way that you know us fully, and you know us deeply, and you love us. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you so much that you are the trustworthy shepherd that we can put our hope in, that we can allow ourselves to be led by you. Be with us now as we study your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Help me not to be a distraction by fumbling or bumbling my words, but Lord, may I be used by you and for you this evening. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this, like I said before, is a psalm that, so many of us, we are familiar with. In fact, some of us might have it hanging on our walls or on a bookmark or maybe a blanket. Even those that maybe don't know the Lord or are not a part of a church community, many people know Psalm 23. And even for many of you, as I said, this is what we're going to study right away. It popped into your mind, the Lord is my shepherd. And so as I said before, I invite us to try to come to this passage today with an open heart and a clean slate, seeing what the Lord might want to say to us today. Now, if we look at the book of Psalms as a whole, tradition says that 73 of the 150 Psalms were written by David himself. And as we look at these passages and these different Psalms, we're going to see some of the different roles that David had lived out, even in the Psalms. So earlier in the year, we looked at 1 and 2 Samuel, how David was a shepherd and a musician, and he was a warrior, and he was a king. And those themes will come out as we read through the Psalms. And of course, 23 is very reflective of David's role as a shepherd. And it makes me kind of wonder, like, when was it that he wrote that? Was he sitting under a tree, watching the sheep, and then it suddenly clicked? The thing that I'm doing right now with these sheep is what my Heavenly Father does with me? I don't know. We don't have a lot of context with what inspired that psalm other than knowing that he was indeed a shepherd. So I'd like to read through the passage as a whole, and then we're going to go through verse by verse and see what we can learn from it. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So right away in this very first section, we're able to see that the trustworthy shepherd, our Heavenly Father, he is one that leads carefully and he provides generously. So we're going to see that in these first few verses. And in those first five words, there's some pretty significant implications that are happening here. Because David himself, he is declaring that he is willingly submitting to the Lord as his shepherd. He's submitting to the Lord to be the source of guidance and leadership, care, provision, and protection. And remember, David, he's a king. He's kind of a big shot in Israel. But yet, he is still submitting to the Lord's leadership and even learning from the Lord's leadership in the way that he leads other people. And secondly, notice that he says, the Lord is my. So there's even ownership there that he is explaining, the Lord is my shepherd. And in essence, if the Lord's his shepherd, then David is saying, well, I'm a sheep. I am under the Lord as my shepherd. You know, sheep are like, man, they are an amazing craft for our kids' ministry, because all it takes is some cotton balls, a Sharpie marker, and there's a cute little craft that you can send home with your kids and put it on the fridge. But if you have spent time with sheep, let me just explain a little bit what sheep are actually like. So sheep are not smart. Sheep, they cannot actually care for themselves, and they're actually quite dirty. My family and I, we lived in New Zealand for 7 years, and we had the chance to be in some sheep barns and even around as some sheep were being sheared. And man, let me tell you, it's chaotic. It's loud in there. You've got to watch where you step. Man, sheep do not have the ability to even survive on their own. And sheep make really bad decisions, okay? Sheep are easily influenced by others. Even so much that if one of the sheep starts to wander, sometimes the rest of the flock might start to follow after them. They are prone to wander. Sometimes they will even topple over onto their backs and they can't figure out how to roll over and get back up on their feet again. This is how sheep function and operate. Sheep are unaware of danger. They don't have that intelligence that allows them to watch and be careful for a predator that might be lurking nearby. They are just not intelligent. I think for some of us, maybe we might be getting our feelings a little bit hurt right now to hear that we are compared to sheep. But maybe there's some of us who are saying, like, yes, I can relate to how sheep are. And I can relate to that. That might be how I live my life in some ways. I am prone to wander, especially with the Lord as my shepherd. The significance of what is happening here in this passage is that David is recognizing his inability to guide and protect and care for himself. And he is desperate and he's dependent on the Heavenly Father to be his trustworthy shepherd, to protect him, to care for him, and even nurture him. And it's beautiful in the passage here because he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." With the Lord fulfilling his role as shepherd over David's life, there is nothing else that he might want at all. And remember, David is this wealthy king. He has property. He has armies. He has palaces that he is able to live in. And he has people that respond to him, servants. But he's able to say, with the Lord as my shepherd, there is nothing that I want. All needs are taken care of. Church, the Lord is ready to be our trusted and faithful shepherd and leader. But this comes through submitting to him. And not conditionally, not saying, okay, Lord, I'll submit to you in these areas, but not in these areas. I'll rely on you for provision, but for protection, I got that covered. It's relying on the Lord entirely for everything, for every aspect of our existence. Church, we have a shepherd who wants to lead us carefully, and he wants to provide for us generously. And in him, we have no other needs or wants because he is indeed enough. Verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." So in this verse, David highlights how rest and nourishment is provided by the shepherd. And you know, this, even just the concept of green pastures is really significant in this time frame, because in the areas that David would have been living at this time, there was not necessarily lush green pastures everywhere, but it took intentional work and thought on behalf of the shepherd to even create some irrigation systems to water the fields or the meadows so that the sheep had a place to go to where they could actually rest. And so that there could be fresh water that was flowing not at a fast pace, but at a slow pace. Not at a fast pace where it would be dangerous for the sheep to drink from, but it was a slow stream so they might be able to be refreshed. You know, there's a gentleman named Philip Keller that wrote a book about what it looks like to be a shepherd. And it's really interesting because he talks about the part of the verse where it says, "He makes me lie down." And he identifies four key things that are needed for sheep to actually be able to relax and rest and actually lay down. So here's the four things. The sheep need to be free from surrounding fear. There needs to be no friction or conflict among the herd or with other sheep. They need to be free from insects or flies or parasites that might be climbing on them or even into their ears or nose. They need to be fed, and they need to be able to have water that is refreshing and nourishing them. You see, the shepherd, he knows this. He knows these things, and he intentionally cares for each aspect of what the sheep needs in order for them to be able to actually lay down and rest and be still. He creates space for them to rest. And, you know, I think we can probably relate to this in some ways, can't we? Some of us, including myself at times, we have a hard time resting. We keep going because there's always one more thing to do. And perhaps if you think of those four things, perhaps that continual movement is driven by a fear that causes us to keep working because we want to be productive, or we need to make maybe a little bit more money. Or maybe we live in this state of paranoia of what's happening in the world around us, and we're just kind of wondering, is the sky falling? Or maybe we're agitated by conflict that's taking place with another individual. And if they could just figure things out, then I would be able to rest. Or maybe I have something that I need to figure out so that I can rest. We surround ourselves sometimes with so much activity, fill every moment of our schedules, that there is not a moment just to have peace and rest and stillness. Or maybe we're not taking the time to intentionally feed ourselves and feed on the Word of God and spend time with Him, and we find ourselves spiritually parched and famished. And maybe that's leading us to become spiritually hangry in some ways. That's not in the ESV, by the way. I made that one up. But we can trust in the Lord as our trustworthy shepherd, that He will take care of all of those different things, the things that cause us to not be able to rest and be still. We can give those things to the Lord, and then He creates the opportunity to rest. You know, for us in our home, in the evening as bedtime comes, in our home, like, it's just really smooth. The kids just go to bed. It's no problem at all, and they lay down. No, some nights in our home, our kids continually have one more thing that they need or want to do before they can actually lay down. And even when they're in their bed, they keep like popping up because there's one more thing that they think of that we need to do in order for them to be able to rest. And finally, I just get to the point where I'm like, hey, put your head down, be still, rest. Because I know that they need the rest in order for tomorrow to be a better day. Because if they stay up too late, if they keep themselves going, tomorrow's going to be a rough day for all of us if they don't rest. And so that passage right there where it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Man, I think about that even in my role as a father, as I shepherd my children, wanting them to have rest so they can enjoy the next day. In John chapter 10, Jesus explains that He is the good shepherd. And as our good shepherd, He leads us to green pastures and still waters where rest and nourishment and refreshment can be found. In fact, He is rest and He is peace. He is the water of life, and He invites us to come to Him. Church, I know many of us feel tired and exhausted and depleted. But remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As the passage continues in verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores my soul. This is the outflowing of what is happening through rest in the green pastures and meadow and through the waters where nourishment is happening. That's where the restoration is coming. And in the original text here, in the original language, this word restore is compared to the word, the idea of being renewed or being brought back to vigorous life. And David was familiar with this idea of restoration, even so much to the point that that's something that he pleaded and called out to the Lord for. In Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." No greater joy than the salvation and the hope that we have through Jesus. And David is asking for the Lord to do that. Would you restore something within me that is dry and that is weary and needs to be refreshed? When the sheep are refreshed and restored, and when they're filled, then they're ready to journey into the next pasture that the shepherd is ready to lead them into when that new day comes. Just as it says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." And you know, restoration can also come from being on the right path, being on the right path is an opportunity then to breathe with a sigh of relief. I know where I'm headed. The Master is leading me on a pathway that leads to refreshment and restoration. That is the right path. You see, the shepherd knows, he knows the paths. The shepherd has a vantage point that is different from the sheep. The shepherd is never going to lead the sheep in a direction on a path that's going to lead them to destruction or towards a cliff that could be dangerous for them. The shepherd leads them on the right paths. And look how beautiful it says here, for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness bring honor to the name of the Heavenly Father. You know, church, there are indeed times when our souls feel dry and weary and parched and maybe even deeply, deeply wounded. And that is why we need a trustworthy shepherd who will restore our souls. And he desires to bring that refreshment and that healing that is only available through him as he leads us on the paths of righteousness. That passage in John chapter 10 where Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, he says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's the heart of the good shepherd, the desire of our Heavenly Father to have life abundantly and to the full. So if we're feeling tired, if we're feeling parched, if our soul is feeling downcast, just like David, we can ask. Ask the Lord to restore our soul. Restore the joy that he desires for our soul to have. And as we find that refreshment and restoration and healing, may we honor his name. May we honor the name of our Heavenly Father and Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So as we carry on in the passage and look towards verse 4, we see that the trustworthy shepherd, he protects fiercely and he cares deeply. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In this verse, David is calling out the reality of navigating through some pretty dark and treacherous and difficult moments. And David himself went through some really tough things. And you see that as he writes different psalms, the things that he was going through as he was navigating through the valley of the shadow. Sometimes, in order for the sheep to be able to get to that pasture that the shepherd has his mind set on for them, they need to travel through a dangerous or treacherous valley, or maybe a ravine that might be a little bit dangerous. But notice that he wants to lead them through. And perhaps there's steep cliffs or there's barren fields, or maybe there's a place where predators lurk. But the good shepherd wants to lead his sheep through the valley of the shadow. And there is no reason to fear, just as David says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. The very presence of the shepherd with the sheep causes them to be calm and not have a reason to fear, because they know they are cared for, because they know that they are protected. And even the implements, the tools and weapons, I guess you could even say, that the shepherd is carrying, the rod and the staff, they bring peace and they bring a calmness to the sheep. And that's why David calls these out. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod would be like a shorter kind of like club that a shepherd would have. And this shorter club would be used primarily as a defense mechanism against predators that might come in and try to attack some of the sheep or pull some of them away. Sometimes the rod was used as correction for the sheep as well. But primarily it was a defense weapon that was used to protect the sheep from wild animals. And the staff, on the other hand, that's what we might often see when we see a picture of a shepherd with the walking stick that has a crook on the end of it. And that was intended to be used to pull sheep back from the edge of a cliff or out of the bushes when they get themselves stuck. It was used to rescue them and carefully and thoughtfully guide them and support them and set them back on the path. You know, church, there are many of us that have been traveling through some pretty dark valleys. And maybe it's been a frightening diagnosis that you've recently gotten or something that you're going through now. Maybe there's been some relational fallout with people that are close to you, and there's been family discord. Now, perhaps there's a financial struggle that you just don't feel like you can get on top of. Or maybe there's the death of someone that is close to you. Church, would you remember that you are not alone? Would you remember that the good shepherd sees and knows the valley that you are walking through, that he is with you? And do not fear. Do not let fear cause you to be paralyzed or not be able to move forward or take your eyes off of the shepherd. Remember that he alone is there, and he's carrying the tools that are needed to protect you and guide you and keep you on the path. He's there to walk you through the valley that you might be going through. And for the believer, even death itself is not something that we fear, because we have an eternal and heavenly hope that we are promised, each and every one of us who is in Christ. And this is what causes Paul to be able to say in Philippians 1:21, he's able to say this boldly, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So church, whether you are in the valley right now or you find yourself in the valley in the future, remember that your faithful and trustworthy shepherd is with you, and he wants to provide protection, comfort, and guidance for you. As we carry on with the passage here, in verse 5 and 6, we see that the trustworthy shepherd, he hosts lavishly and eternally. Verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." And so in some regards, there is a little bit of a shift from this the shepherd illustration to more of a host. But at the same time, the shepherd is still the host of the sheep as he provides food and nourishment for them, taking care of them. But once again, David notes the Lord as his provider. And the Lord, through thoughtful preparation, is inviting him to this meal. And there's this striking dynamic that you see in that verse there where it says, "You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies." So the presence of my enemies, it implies that the presence of the enemies, they're nearby. They see or they observe. Tradition during this time frame, when you were a guest in someone's house, when they would invite you in, it was common for them to expend all of their resources to provide a banquet to invite you into, but also to use their resources to protect you as a guest in their home, even if there's enemies that are lurking and outside the house. You are under the provision and protection of that host at that time. And oftentimes, as well as you're sitting at the table being hosted, the host would come around and would anoint guests in a way that would honor them and show respect. And it was, in essence, a way of joyful celebration for the fact that you are here. It's part of that lavish hospitality. The shepherd, on the other hand, also would anoint his sheep in order to protect them from flies and pests that might be flying around them. He'd put salve over their eyes and nose and ears so that they couldn't be bugged or agitated by the things that were coming at them and flying around them. David states that his cup overflows. And it's really beautiful because his cup is overflowing because everything else that is taking place in this passage, all of his needs are being taken care of. He's given refreshment. He's being led on the right paths. He has no reason to fear because he is protected. And because of that, he is able to say, "My cup overflows. My heart is filled with joy." And church, the Lord, as our trustworthy shepherd. He invites us to his table. He invites us to commune with him. He invites us to abide with him. And all the while, we have an enemy who is watching. We have an enemy who is lurking. As scripture says, the enemy looks for ways to kill, steal, and destroy while we are abiding with our good and trusted and faithful shepherd. He is out to get us. But as we abide with him and in Christ, the enemy cannot touch us because we are protected at the table of our Heavenly Father. And that's a place where we can eat in peace because of his protection. And our Heavenly Father has expended his greatest resource of his Son, dying on the cross in order to provide protection for each and every one of us. In John 10, Jesus explains that he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, which is exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. He died on the cross to provide that ultimate protection for us from our sins. Jesus was never intimidated by the enemy or even by tricks of the enemy. And his death on that cross was an atonement for our sins, wiping our sins away, giving us a clean slate. And as a result, we are added to the fold of the Good Shepherd. And we receive the gift of eternal life through him. Church, this is the greatest gift that we are given. In verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, this passage, it closes out with a powerful statement that has presence and a future hope to look forward to. And David is declaring that goodness and mercy shall follow after him. And in the original text here, the word for follow is to pursue or chase after. And so the Lord's blessing, the Lord's faithfulness of the trustworthy shepherd will pursue or follow after those who are in the fold. You see, church, all along, the shepherd wants what's best for his sheep. And that's why the shepherd is able to leave the 99 to go pursue and chase after that one that might have strayed, and to bring that sheep, that one that's wandered away, back to the fold where it can be cared for, where it can be protected, and where it can be provided for. And church, this is the depth of the love of our trustworthy and faithful shepherd. He brings us to a place of safety in the house of the Lord forever. And we enter into the house of the Lord through Jesus who is the door. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." And church, this is the invitation that we are given to dwell with, to abide with our trustworthy shepherd in the house of the Lord, in his presence, under his care, and his protection forevermore, because he is our trustworthy shepherd. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful picture that we're reminded of in Psalm 23 of the depths of your love for each and every one of us. Thank you for the invitation that we are given to be part of the fold, to be part of the flock that Jesus, our good shepherd, is leading us in. Father, we pray that we might be led by you. Father, we pray that you would guide our minds and hearts each day. Father, we pray that you would provide for each and every one of us through the difficult things that we might be going through the challenges that we might be facing. Father, would you be our good shepherd? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way that you gave your life for us on the cross so that we might be able to live and dwell in the house of our Heavenly Father forever. Lord, we love you. We pray that we can abide with you both now and forevermore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.